Welcome to Gemini season, my loves. I mean, it's been Gemini season, but at the time of this recording on June 6th, it is the Gemini new moon. This is my second favorite time of year, second to Libra season, because of course I'm a Libra and October is my most favorite month out of all the months. But there's something really magical and very curious and imaginative about Gemini season. And I'm really, I don't know about y'all, please let me know, but I'm just really feeling it right now. Feeling very inspired. The thing with Gemini as well is that Gemini is the sign of the twins. And Gemini is most excellent at holding duality better than any other sign. I was working on another piece a few weeks ago. And I was struggling to get the words out to hear what path I needed to take with the piece. And the day that I decided to just put it down and decide that I was gonna, excuse me, come back to it at some point, the story I'm about to read to you came through. And I was like, this is perfect. This is so perfect for this time of year because this piece has the duality that we hold in a lot of situations, and whether we're aware of it or not. So, here we go. There are two beings inside of me. There is the healthy version, the self-sufficient one that wakes up early, drinks her lemon water before rolling out her yoga mat, stepping onto the top of it, stretching her arms overhead before folding over and into a seated position. Meditating for 20 minutes before starting her asana practice. She's labeled as dull and boring by the other part, who is rolling herself out of bed, tequila on her breath, last night's makeup on her face, tossing a passing glance at the man in her bed, whose name she can't remember, on her way to the bathroom. I feel both these parts, their heartbeats, the blood in their veins, as I down my black coffee. Before kissing the top of my cat's head as I walk out the door to my job, I sometimes like. I hear their voices in my head on my drive in. The healthy one is asking that I call my therapist and ask for an additional session this week, maybe get a salad for lunch, while the other part is itching to call the situationship I swore I'd never fuck again. It's all tempting because therapy is therapy and, well, sex is therapy, but all of us, these parts and I, know the best option. We also know what I'm gonna do. Pulling into my parking spot at work, I gather my purse, water bottle, and jacket before climbing out. I feel my phone vibrating with texts, emails, or both as I pretend I don't, taking a deep breath, trying to be present. And notice the gentle breeze pushing my hair off my shoulder, the smell of a breakfast sandwich carried by the person in front of me, and the sound of a dog barking off in the distance. For 3 years now, I've been an administrative assistant at a community college. I mostly enjoy it, except for days like today, where I feel weighed down with all the meetings that are on the schedule. I remind myself as I walk into my office to call my therapist on my lunch break. And I hear the other part perk up as I set my water bottle on my desk, place my purse in the bottom drawer after taking my phone out and silencing it, working hard to not pay the tiniest amount of attention to the notifications vying for said attention. We are not texting him, I tell the voice. She is itching for a drink already, specifically with him, followed by his cock. Who are we not texting? Jen, my friend and coworker, asks while knocking on my open door. Oh my God, you scared me, I exclaim, placing my hand on my chest, sinking into my chair. Sorry, not sorry, she replies, grinning and sitting in the chair opposite me. Okay, so this text you're not sending? Who is it to? It's nothing. I tuck my hair behind my ear. I'm not sending it. Jen leans back and crosses her arms, staring at me expectantly. I stare back, used to her antics and not giving in to them now. If she doesn't get an answer out of me, she'll wait. And in that space of silence, I struggle to sit still and end up telling whatever it was I was trying to keep in. You're not getting it out of me because there is nothing. I'm serious. Now, are you coming to the 9 o'clock meeting? I ask, avoiding her eyes and gathering a folder of paperwork and a pen to take with me. You're lying, and yes, I'm going to the meeting. I'm not, and we're going to be late, I reply, standing up and walking out with her trailing behind me. The day drags on. I take a quick break to walk a couple of blocks for coffee at the little shop with the sweet baristas who always remember my order and sometimes give me a pastry or two just because. I'm still thinking of sending him the text. When I reach for my phone while I wait for my latte, I see there are 7 texts and 2 missed calls from my sister, the source of my upset and the desire to numb out with whatever I can get my hands on increases. My relationship with her is hanging on by a thread. She's angry I won't let her move in with me. I'm angry she refuses help for her mental health problems and active addiction and demands I constantly bail her out because we share DNA. This has also stressed the relationship I have with my parents, as they too are upset with me for not letting her live with me, as they are out of state, and she desperately claims there's no way she could live with them. I get the sense that the feeling is mutual, but it is still expected I take her in. I push her notifications out of sight and scroll to my contacts to the one named Nope. My best friend changed it for me when things with him went south again. She wanted me to block him, but I couldn't, so this was our compromise. As I go to create a text, I hear my order being called out. I drop my phone in my bag, thank the barista as she hands me my large caramel latte, and walk back to the office. It's everything I've got to pay attention to the breeze in my hair again, the feel of my breath entering and exiting my lungs, the tears stinging my eyes from exhaustion and frustration as I enter my office, set my drink down, and pull my phone out again. I text him, asking what he's up to, does he have plans later, and if not, could he come over for a bit? Pressing send, I watch my words pop up on the screen as the message reaches him. My heart is racing, my hands are shaking, and my breath is catching in my lungs as I set the phone on the desk and sit down, wondering what I've just done. The part of me that wants to talk to my therapist sits in quiet disapproval, while the other part is flooded with excitement. The situationship with him was messy, emotional, and dramatic. It ended a year ago when we came to a mutual decision that we just didn't work. At least not in the sense of a long-term relationship, but we certainly worked when it came to sex. And if I'm honest, the only thing that held us together was the rawness and the intensity of our sexual connection. His text came shockingly quickly, making me wonder if he felt my energy buzzing around him. Hey, kitten, I'm off today. You say when, and I'll be there. My nickname. He hadn't called me that in ages, and it felt like being wrapped in a wool blanket. Heavy, comforting, and a little itchy. Seeing as he was quick to reply and quick to agree to see me, he must be having a good day, be in a good mood. So I decided to email my boss, say I wasn't feeling well, and I wouldn't make it to the last 2 meetings this afternoon. And then text him to say to come over in an hour. Gathering my purse, latte, and notes from the earlier meetings, I rush out the door, thankful to see Jen's desk is empty as I hurry to my car. I feel the familiar rush of sparkling chemicals flooding my brain and body. This is what I used to chase, feed off of, what I've done immense work with my therapist and my best friend, who doubles as my unpaid therapist, to heal from. But I've decided, under the circumstances, I deserve some stress relief, even if it's in the toxic form. A tiny relapse has never hurt too badly. Right at the top of the hour, after I changed into a short black cotton dress And tidied up, I hear a knock at my door. I am done with deep breaths and channeling calm energy, and I meet him with something hungry, feral, and a little unhinged when I open the door. "Come in," I say, and step back to make space for him as he walks through my door, looks around as I close it behind him and turn to face him. I don't bother with pleasantries. I sink my fingers into his hips and kiss him hard as he says hi, hello, or something. He returns my kiss with his own and then pulls back to look at me. "You want to tell me what's going on?" I know he sees the tears in my eyes as I shake my head no. "Okay, upstairs then?" he asks, and I nod, taking his hand and walking him up to my bedroom. The blinds are down, sunlight peeking through their slits as we make our way to my bed. In the blink of an eye, I feel his hand on my back, shoving me hard into the mattress. I whip around with an expression of shock, confusion, and anger. "Don't give me that," he says, unbuckling and yanking his belt from his jeans before unbuttoning them. "Give you what? What the fuck was that?" I snap. He steps out of his jeans and pulls his shirt over his head, dropping everything on the floor. "Don't look at me like you have no idea what's going on." He climbs onto the bed, crawling over and on top of me, turning me around, placing his hand on the back of my neck so most of my face is buried in the mattress. His words land in my ear with a hot whisper. "You texted me, remember? And the second I walk through the door, you throw yourself at me like some rabid animal. But we both know what you really want." "What's that?" I ask, my voice barely audible. He pulls the hem of my dress up, exposing my ass. I'm not wearing underwear. I feel him slide his hand along the center of my hamstring, letting his fingertips brush the center of me before spanking my ass so hard I yelped. "You want to lie there and take it. You want whatever is giving you grief fucked out of you because you don't want to feel anything for a little bit," he says. He spit on his hand and shoved it between my legs, rubbing my pussy before grabbing my hips and pulling them towards him. "So you text me with this sweet little request to come over while you're hanging on by a thread, and then to maintain some kind of control and not ask for what the fuck you really want, you kiss me so forcefully I'm surprised my lip didn't split." I feel his thick cock enter me as my body tightens around him while that part of me he's addressing relaxes. "What's going to happen now, because of what you're really asking for, is I'm just going to fuck you like this until you say you're done, and then we'll see what happens next." With his thumbs pressing hard into the top of my hips as he went at me and I let the tears finally come. Everything he said was right. I just wouldn't admit it. Loosening my grip on control sparks a deep ache stemming from fear of what might happen if I stop pushing an agenda on myself and everyone around me. I fear my entire world will fall apart if I am not doing and directing everything. His cock, the feel of his hands and his hips slamming into mine, eased the pull the desire for control had over me. All I wanted was this. Right now, my body full of him. The pleasure of pressure inside and out of me. He spanked me twice, the sting feeling delicious in its sharpness before he moved to being fully on top of me, slowing his thrust down. The tears returned when I felt his mouth on the top of my shoulder, the graze of his teeth on my skin. It was always like this with him. The roughness followed by immense, tender softness. Softness wasn't something I felt I deserved. Having my body split open wide and be fucked was easy. Lying there and taking whatever he wanted to give me was what I was used to, and not just with him, with anyone. I could do the hard thing, the painful thing, and in fact, I liked it, preferred it sometimes, because it was easy to know what to expect. But inside the slowness of a more tender expression, an invitation for vulnerable expressions of myself surfaced, which I worked so hard to keep down out of fear that vulnerability was allowing a door to being hurt swing open. "Have you had enough yet?" he asks in my ear. "No," I squeak out. Good. He pushes my hair off my face and kisses my cheek. This goes on for the better part of the hour, him alternating between fucking me hard and fast, and then soft and slow until I ask him to make me come. He pushes his hand under my hips and rubs my clit while steadily thrusting. He always knows the exact right pace and pressure I need. He makes it a little too easy for me to let my rigid guard down and surrender into the pleasure he so freely offers. I felt a rush of emotion racing my orgasm up from my pussy through my hips, belly, heart, throat, and out of my mouth. While my body shook with the fullness of sensation tearing through it, I screamed my hurt and anger and fear into the mattress. Once I slowed and quieted down, he eased out of me, removed his hand from between my legs, and laid down next to me, pushing my hair off my face as I turned to face him. I'm gonna get you back in just a bit, I grinned, already thinking about putting his cock into my mouth. There's no rush, but do you want to tell me what's going on? The part of me that wants a therapy appointment, nourishing food, and rest rushes to the forefront of my mind, waving frantically to get my attention, telling me to get dressed and see him out the door. Instead, I say, yes, I'll tell you, but fair warning, it's a lot. You know I don't mind, he replies. This is always when it starts again.